So, I'm sure that you've heard, I don't think we've talked about this on the pod yet, but there's strong speculation and rumorings that the next Spider-Man movie may very well feature Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who hasn't heard that rumor yet? Yeah.
And, you know, with that, kind of had me thinking, the way that the rumor mills for these movies comes out, I'm like, are they in competition with DC? Like, is this what's going on here? Like, is
who can pull the most people from the past?
Yeah. Because, you know, we have with the Flashpoint movie, they announced that first they're bringing in, Adam West. They're definitely not bringing in Adam West.
That'd be impressive.
That would be very impressive.
At that
impressive.
Point, DC would win if it was competition.
We've learned to bring people back from the dead, back to life. And we have Adam West. No.
Suck on that, Disney. Have you done that? Where's Walt at?
Yeah, is Walt still frozen? So they're bringing back Michael Keaton. And then they, of course, later announced that Ben Affleck could be there in some capacity. And
I noticed they didn't talk about no George Clooney yet.
That would mean that George Clooney would have to be in the Batman movie, Kevin. That's strange. What are you talking about?
I don't know who knows how to do that with anyone but Joel.
Yep.
Shots fired.
Rest in peace to Joel Schumacher and Adam West, both those gentlemen.
Also, yes.
So it's like with these rumors coming out, it's like, man, I wonder if there's any truth to them. And you also kind of have to wonder about the fact that if they aren't true, shame on these movie companies in general for not putting the kibosh on these rumors, especially if you know they're not true.
For the sake of these movie companies, brother, I hope they are true.
Oh, yeah.
Because, dude, we all remember the battle of live animated Sonic and how that went via the movie and everything, how that ugly, like, whatever nuclear reactor, you know, born baby first version of Sonic came out and the entire internet backlash. What the crap is that? Fix it now. And now all of a sudden we got a great Sonic. I mean, I'm scared for the studios if this rumor isn't true because the immediate backlash. Wait a minute. I thought we got Toby and Andrew up in here. What's going on? And all of a sudden they're not in the movie? Yeah. I feel the fandom at that point?
I feel like that would be leaning more towards toxic fandom than righteous indignation. Sonic, I feel, was righteous indignation because that shit was terrible.
No, that's very true. That was. But at the same time, it still would lead back to the idea of, man, I hope these rumors are true for their sakes. You know?
Yeah. But anyways, with that, guys, welcome back to the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Quentin, and as always, I'm here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how you guys all doing tonight? Happy November for those of you who are listening and keeping up with all the content. We're almost through this whole 2020 game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're almost there together, guys. We'll make it yet.
Absolutely, and you know, the sad and bizarre thing about the whole 2020 thing is like,
what's up?
We act as if like the shit's gonna stop once we hit 2021. What would possibly make anything different in 60+ days?
Now I know a couple reasons why you're asking this question, brother. Because we make fun of the concept of time as we have formatted it. Because as time is a realistic thing, the way that we've organized it literally is just man-made mental barriers that we've named it. And I get that, but have that positivity. All right. Positive vibes from here on out, dadgummit. Let us be happy, okay? Let us have a better life. That's all we want, Q. That's all we're trying to ask for. So if we have to paint over the facade with another paint of facade to let us know, hey, it's going to get better, then by dadgum golly, let me put on my fucking paint. Excuse me. Anyways, yeah. But this is going to get better.
Well, you know what will make things better, guys, is if you visit our Patreon page, which we do have one. It is a very, very awesome Patreon page. We talk about a lot of comic or non-comic book content that is still very much nerd-based. We have a lot of things coming in the pipeline, including more movies and TV shows. So definitely, guys, be sure to go to patreon.com/superherohomies. You guys can check out all the cool content on our Patreon page that's exclusive to our Patreoners for $1 to $3 a month. You guys can get all of that content and then some. Definitely worth your time and money.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have a very interesting episode lined up for you guys tonight.
We do, we do. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we just sat down and watched every part of the Choose Your Own Adventure, A Death in the Family.
Yep. Animated movie that was recently released.
Yep.
Interesting side note about this movie was when I was looking into, viewing this movie, I did first the digital option. I was going to see if I could just purchase this thing digitally. And so I went to Amazon Prime app and they had it on there. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll just do this. And then thankfully, I do this thing where I read. And
thankfully, buddy, thankfully. What'd you read?
And it said that something about how it was a version of the movie where you couldn't pick anything. You couldn't make any decisions. And I was like, that literally defeats the purpose.
It does. So to expound on what Q's talking about here, guys, this is literally a movie where you can pick and choose the course of actions that characters and that events take, thus literally making the movie become as you watch it, you know, which is interesting. It's a new medium of storytelling. Yeah, and just out of curiosity, for those of you who are wondering out there, Q and I took the time and we watched all the possible outcomes. So we're ready to talk about those tonight just for you guys.
Yes, and now what we're really doing tonight to really keep into the form of the content of this animated movie is that in 7 different universes, we're going to talk about 7 different options, okay? So like in this universe, we talk about one, and then another universe, we're talking about a different option and so forth and so on.
So which universe are we? Which paperclip did we get when we met and converged universes to meet ourselves and to make us do this episode?
Well, I had to do it via interdimensional email because you can't be in close proximity to yourself in the universe. That
really?
Causes...
Well, no one told me that because I hung out with mine, you know, the other night. We went to, you know, a restaurant. Had a great time, man.
I'm glad that you were able to take yourself out on a date.
Oh, but... Yeah. Well, it was a group of us. It was a group date. You know, those are pretty awesome.
Okay. Well, you know, having a self...
I paid the bill.
I bet you did. Having a self orgy, I don't know what that looks like.
No. We didn't give it up on the first date.
But,
this
yeah.
Got weird. This got weird.
This was a very interesting way, though, to take DC's animated slate. Because traditionally speaking, of course, DC's animated movies, they for the most part have been really, really good.
Yeah.
They typically release high quality animated movies that are really entertaining and that are more bite-sized forms of their source material. And I remember when I first saw the trailer for this, it was at the DC Fandome event when they released the trailer for this. Right. I was very confused. And I understand the concept behind it being that they maybe wanted to create new, unique ways for their fans to view some of these movies.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel that almost as if it's like on one hand, Under the Red Hood and A Death in the Family, it is kind of the perfect catalyst to experiment with something like this. But on the other hand, it's like you guys have already released an Under the Red Hood movie.
Yeah, that was my big problem. Yeah, because I had already watched the movie. And to be honest, whenever we wrote down that we were going to do this movie tonight, I had forgotten that this was the Choose Your Own Adventure movie.
Hmm.
And so it wasn't until recently that I said, oh, yeah, we talked about doing that one. Yeah. And I realized, like, oh, yeah, we already did The Death in the The OG one.
Oh, we did Under the Red Hood, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't, you know, do the Choose Your Own Adventure kind.
Yeah, we did Under the Red Hood. If you guys haven't heard that one, that's a pretty good one. We did that. All of ours are good ones. We did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's why we're here.
We did that one, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago now.
It's somewhere in the catalog.
Yeah. Somewhere in the catalog. You can just, you know, look it up.
Keep scrolling.
Yeah.
But listen to this one first.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for those of you who aren't familiar, Under the Red Hood is kind of like a long form pseudo sequel to a book that came out in the late 80s known as A Death in the Family. And it was that story in which it was decided via fan vote that Jason Todd would be killed off. And thus he was. Now, this movie is called The Death in the Family, but in actuality, they don't really focus a lot on that story. They literally, for the most part,
they kind of hold your hand through all that and then lead you up to the Under the Red Hood segments.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they actually start you off basically right where Under the Red Hood starts you off at.
Right.
In terms of, you see Batman riding up to the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And now as far as, like, the way that you get there via the story, a lot of that is missing. So, like, the whole thing about Jason Todd looking for his mother, that's not really present. They do go into the Joker selling uranium to Ra's al Ghul, and they do play a lot with the continuity that Under the Red Hood book presents in terms of Ra's al Ghul being there and being the one who inadvertently helped the Joker kill Jason Todd because that wasn't Ra's plan. But so they do play a lot with the continuity there and in a really clever way. But as far as like exploring the actual story of Under the Red Hood, there's not a whole lot of that going on here.
It's an interesting thing. Let's dive into it. Overall, I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't for me. I enjoyed it. And there are some parts I enjoyed way more thoroughly than others, but definitely it's, I don't know, man. It's like I got to sit with this a little bit more and try it out with other stories, this whole, like, choose-your-adventure movie-esque thing. Normally, I'm kind of used to the story being the story. That being said, I'm not closed-minded to the idea of this genre of movie, you know, rising to the surface a little bit more and maybe, like, witnessing it via other stories. But I don't know, man. What were your thoughts on it? Just, like, brisk overall before we get into the nit and grit.
Roughly the same. I thought it was definitely interesting, but it's not the typical way that I like to digest my movies.
Yeah.
And
I like movies.
And that is kind of like the gist of this, is that it's something that's really new.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we've all, as children, I'm sure, have read those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Mm-hmm. Turn to page 37, and then you look for it, and you cheat, and be like, nope, not doing that one. I'm going to page 12.
Yep.
You know.
Heaven knows I've done it before.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my character fell down a bookshelf and died? Oh, no.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
No.
I went to 38, not. You know.
This is basically the same thing, just in movie form. Now, I will say this, like, the concept of it is a unique one, and it is one that provides some interesting outcomes, and which there would be some spoilers
for this episode. So definitely get ready for that, guys. And to further defend this genre movie, I also appreciated that we took the time, and I think because we did so, I liked it more, that we took the time to actually watch everything, mm-hmm. not just the one that we did, and then come over to the mics, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that would have been dreadful, because on our first watch, it took all of maybe 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Tops. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a movie. It was like, oh, this is a really bizarre episode. Almost like an extended monologue, you know?
Basically.
Yeah. So.
This movie really does play out very, very quickly. Like, it's definitely meant for you to go back and replay different options.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. This is definitely not a movie where you get your one option, like, oh, okay, and then
start over.
You're supposed to go back and replay the different options. And
that's true. The DVD formatting actually kind of, like, invites you to do so, I noticed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is nice.
Yeah. So I do also want to say this, like, there, to, like, the credit and to, like, Well, to also the shortcomings of this movie, it's both a good thing and kind of a bad thing, is how they intertwine the footage from Under the Red Hood, because I'm sure as a lot of you probably noticed from the trailers that there is a lot of repurposed footage from Under the Red Hood. I mean, there's a lot. And now the way that they intertwine it with the new footage is really cool, really good. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like they realized that they can't do any better than Under the Red Hood movie.
You know, that animation was really good. I think I've seen it before. It was one of those.
Yeah, so they definitely splice a lot of footage.
Right. And there are certain clever scenes where your decision making matters, but at the same time, like, certain factors about the decision making all come up to these known crossroads. So all of a sudden you'll see, like, on your first watching, you'll see this particular version of Robin or the Red Hood walking across a balcony. But then all of a sudden on your second watching, when you choose other directions, you'll see that same balcony, but then, like, a different personage walking across it, you know, without giving too much away out the front gate here. And you can tell that they did some clever working where you're right. It's not just the animation, like, repurposing of old stuff, but it's also like, we're going to splice this costume here and we're going to, you know, put that there. The voice acting was pretty good, you know, because there were definitely, like, new parts I feel like they had to go re-record for, you know. And I appreciate that. They got the same guys from the Under the Red Hood movie to come back for their respective roles. So
actually they certainly should have. They got John DiMaggio, I feel, to record a few lines, but Jensen Ackles was definitely missing from this movie.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't actually look for his name in the credits, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's like he didn't even have to. Like, if you guys remember his voice from Under the Red Hood, it is definitely missing. It was one of those things where it's like, this is a little off-putting.
Oh, I'd have to go back and listen for Jensen Ackles, yeah.
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 For sure. And I forget the name of the guy who voiced Jason Todd / Red Hood / whoever else he ends up being in this animated movie.
He was a lot of things.
He was a lot of things.
He was a lot.
Yeah. But it, especially during the scenes where that were taken directly from Under the Red Hood, it was, you know, for me, it was almost painfully obvious that, yeah, you guys are definitely missing Jensen. Like, I've always thought he did a great job in Under the Red Hood. But in this, it kind of only amplified it because, like, man, I really wish they could have got him back. And it's not to speak badly of the guy who does the voice acting here, but it is radically different.
It's no Jensen Ackles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that does further one of the points that, you know, I was going to make eventually, but I'll go ahead and just throw it in now. The fact that, thank you for bringing that up, by the way, that we did actually have different voice actors for some of the more prominent roles. Of course, minus Joe DiMaggio. This movie felt like it was made with a budget, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like they made it well, but at the same time, like, it felt like there was not a large expense expected of this movie, you know? Like, we don't want to output that much money, or excuse me, we don't want to input that much money into this product, so we can try to make more out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's almost like whoever pitched the idea got the okay, but when they got the okay, they only allotted a certain amount to make this thing happen.
It's that type of okay when your boss pulls you aside after the meeting and goes, hey, you know, Quentin, I changed my mind a little bit, okay? I want you to go through your project.
You changed your mind?
But I changed my mind.
I mean, but we got
to... I changed my mind a little bit. We're going to give you the green light, but we're going to move some of those numbers around. Okay, we're going to change the
budget. I'm getting a bigger budget so I can really expand more and make.
We'll talk about it later. Okay.
No, but let's talk about it now.
We'll talk about it later. Hey, we got Joe DiMaggio on board, so there you go. Okay, awesome. He's coming back. But, so see you later, pal. Meeting over. Go get my coffee.
Yeah.
Obviously, I work for DC, so that's exactly how it went.
Right. Yeah.
Disclaimer, I don't work for DC.
Yeah, and it did certainly feel that way.
Yeah.
Because it's like I compare it to like another DC animated film that we both watched earlier this year, which was Apocalypse War. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that was absurdly great. Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually one of the better movies of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, what?
We got to put that on the list.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yes. And it's like, I hate to compare those two movies. It's like, well, they're both technically DC animated movies, and I know that DC, after the end of Apocalypse War, they really wanted to kind of go a different direction with the animated movies, and it seems as if now they're making just a few non-canonical movies that are just kind of their own things until they really, I guess, figure out exactly what they want to do moving forward with their animated continuity.
So filibustering.
I mean, if you want to call it that, yeah.
I mean, it's good filibustering. I mean, I'm not gonna watch them.
But it's also the thing where it's like with the whole choose your own adventure kind of movie. I think I would have maybe overall enjoyed this the most if they did a couple things. Like one, if they choose to do this type of formatted movie again in the future, I would prefer if they provided more options.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Like invest more time into it and give us...
Needs to be a bigger storyboard for more options.
Agreed.
And the second thing I would do is I would... You guys clearly have great writers there for your animated films. Mm-hmm. Create your own unique story. One that isn't based off of a well-known property that you guys have dug into before.
True. The problem with a well-known property is that it might create a potential bias, like forcing your audience to either, let me choose what I know, or, bump that. Let me choose everything I don't know, which is, a bilateral decision, A or B. There's not a whole lot of room for C, D, or E, or et cetera. Mm-hmm. With a fresh story, the board is clear.
Yeah.
There is no map. This is uncharted territory. So that could be really fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be like the best way to approach this kind of thing. And who knows, maybe they do have that plan, and maybe A Death in the Family is more or less just a testing ground to see.
Prototype.
Yeah, prototype. Like a Mezo.
Get out.
But yeah, that is just two things that I would definitely change. I would expand the movie as a whole. I would add more options to it. And also another thing is just the fact that with the exception of the very first choice you make, you only get two options for everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, hell, one of the paths we chose, we only made like two options total.
Yeah.
And that was that.
And there was actually a couple paths where whenever we went back and chose option A and then we went back and chose option B, it didn't matter. Because the outcome was the same.
Right.
So the choice was pointless.
Yeah, it felt a little redundant, like they wanted to put a choice there but didn't know how to fill it.
Yeah, it's like a choice in a video game. Like, we want the audience to really understand the power of agency and what happens here. Well, guess what? The agency didn't matter here. It didn't change anything about the game, you know? It ain't exactly Bioshock. You didn't get the happy or the bad ending. You just got the same ending. Yeah.
Or it's not like an early BioWare game.
Yeah, like, that too.
Yeah, I mean, those were like the epitome of choosing BioWare. your own adventure, what happens to your party.
Remember KOTOR? My gosh, dude.
Yeah.
I could play KOTOR again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I myself was thinking of
Mass Effect. I know what you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of KOTOR.
Oh, excuse me.
Either one or two. Yeah. Because that's early BioWare as well.
They did BioWare not do the second one.
They didn't do the second one?
I think there was Obsidian.
Oh,
Obsidian. The company that comes by and does the sequels to everybody else's video games. Ah. Bethesda makes Fallout 3. Obsidian makes New Vegas. You know?
Wow. Obsidian's the guy who's just like, I saw someone else do this. I want to do that too.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, they don't make decisions for themselves.
You know, but it's like they're the perfect guys to do sequels. You know, like they're good at it. But anyways, let's kind of now get into a little bit of a spoiler territory and talk about some of these choices we had.
We've tiptoed around the bush long enough. So,
yeah. So, the first choice you get to make is, like we said earlier, it basically puts you in the warehouse to get the footage from Under the Red Hood with Joker beating Jason Todd. And Batman is riding toward the warehouse on the motorcycle, and you get the option of Robin escapes death, Robin dies, and what's the other one?
Robin lives.
Robin lives.
Yep. So the first one we chose...
Wait a minute. What are the three options again?
No. Those are the three. Robin escapes, cheats death.
Robin lives, Robin dies. Yeah. Yep.
So the first one we chose was Robin lives, because, of course, like we talked about earlier, oh, I already know that. Let me choose every other outcome. I wanted to see what happened with Robin lived.
Yeah. And boy, was that radical. We did not see that coming. Yeah. So the good news is Jason lives. The bad news is...
That's like 30% of the news.
Yeah. Now, and once again, if you guys wanted to experience this for yourself and not have any kind of indignation of what's going to go on, you might want to pause and go experience the movie for yourself.
True.
But for everybody else, spoiler alert one more time.
5, 4, 3, 2, go.
If you choose Jason lives, then Batman dies. He's the one who dies in the explosion, saving Jason.
Yeah. And of course, he doesn't die. Instead, he dies and he's just like, Robin, don't let the hate consume you. And he has like just enough life to get out this monologue. A lot of the movie, and this is me being more nitpicky regarding the movie and what they actually gave me scene by scene, because all this movie was a collective taped together, sometimes with scotch tape, sometimes with Wonder Glue, just like different scenes. And a lot of those scenes were just like well-delivered monovocal work. Literally is one voice talking to me, talking to you as an audience member the whole time. And that's not bad, but it's not necessarily super fun or really pulling in for the audience either, just to be nitpicky. Mm-hmm. But in this particular moment, we got Batman giving us one last dying breath monologue. My work with others healed me, Jason. With Barbara, with Dick, with Alfred, they healed me. Let them heal you. You know, I'm making fun of it. I'm being facetious, but more or less, that's what exactly he said. Mm. You know,
yeah. For me, it was very reminiscent of Vegeta dying on Planet Namek in Dragon Ball Z.
Come here, my boy. Let me hug you.
No, I'm on Planet Namek.
No. Yeah. When I think of Vegeta dying, I always think of like that one loving father moment he had as Majin Vegeta.
Yeah. On Namek, this is when like he gives like the monologue to Kakarot as he's bleeding out profusely. It's like, this is what this reminded me of here.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's like, I this was definitely something that you could tell definitely impacted Jason, especially since, oh shit, well, I left him and then he rescued me and then he died because of me. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very interesting premise. And it just kind of goes back again to they just needed a more vast storyboard because one of the options here is just, I think, is very short-lived, which is at that point you can choose to, you know, try to be a good guy or and not kill people, or you can just go straight out and go to kill the Joker.
Yep.
Either way, though, you actually murder a lot of people along the way.
Yeah, like that was actually the first choice we made, because as you go through the story, not murdering people, doing like the better version of vigilanteism, it's revealed and kind of like force-fed to you later on by the Joker monologuing at Robin. Don't you know, boy? You've been killing people this whole time. Look at this. And it's like, oh, to get the crime boss's attention, you stuck all the lieutenant's heads in a bag. Like, no, wait a minute. We said we're going to do this the right way, dicks.
Yeah.
Why are you making this the only thing we chose now?
Yeah. It's like, well, what's the, like this, it was a thinly veiled attempt to kind of simulate agency and the choice of options. But no, you, those mob bosses die regardless.
Including the Black Mask, who in this instance died with a large shard from his glass window on the top floor of the skyscraper, just like slicing him in half.
Oh, yeah. Like,
badly.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you're Black Mass, you're not having a good time in this movie.
You're not having a good time.
Black Mass does have one of the best scenes
he does.
In this so whole great. Animated movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he definitely has one of the best death scenes in the entire animated film.
Agreed.
So, which option? Oh, the option where we choose to kill the Joker after Batman dies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that's when he goes around and he does the rocket launcher to the building. Mm-hmm. And then fucking, I'm sorry, but daggum, Black Mask explodes out the building on fire. He's on flying fire. Through the air. And all of a sudden, like, as he's starting to land, he's coming downwards. He lands into a gasoline truck, and it explodes even more. It's great.
Like, Jesus, like, this they, man could not get a break.
No, they really ride that bad luck train of the Black Mask. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, they really do. And, like, it was just such a... Such an over-the-top, hilarious death.
Agreed,
it's like, man, I feel bad for old Black Mass here, man. He is not making out good. That was just a great scene, man, that had me rolling. There was one option. I believe the option we picked at the beginning where Jason cheats death. This one here had a really great add-on ending. When you realize that Bruce is talking to Clark,
I don't think that was this one, man.
When
he cheats death, that's when Robin became Hush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's when Robin became
Hush. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
he's all, they're pitying me. How dare they? You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, yeah. There is an option where he becomes Hush, which is really ironic because that's essentially what he was going to be in the first place.
Right, and he killed the Riddler. Yeah. Who wasn't Hush this time?
Yeah, who wasn't Hush this time in a really weird kind of choice. yeah, it was. There is a kind of a lot of grotesque stuff. This is an R-rated film, by the way. R-rated animated film.
Right.
And, you know, when he kills the Riddler, his body is curled up in a question mark, and his head is the dot of the exclamation or the question mark. It was it was pretty cool and grotesque, definitely. But no, I wish that they spent more time with him as Hush.
Yeah.
During that option.
That would have been nice, you know?
Yeah.
And then, awkwardly enough, at the end of the Hush saga, he meets with Talia. Talia encounters and meets with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, look, we like what you're doing. We think it's awesome. We want to sponsor you, pal. here's a free baby. It happens to be... Damian. Young baby Wayne, Damien himself, the one and only. Raise him. Boom. Done.
Yeah, it was.
Weird sponsorship.
It was. It was like, I assume that he joined the League of Assassins with that option, because that seems to be like a recurring theme with Talia in this animated film, of her trying to get him to join the League.
Right.
That one was interesting. Like, I liked the initial, you know, kind of shock and awe of seeing them finally fulfill their dreams of having him being Hush.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, once again, I still think he should have been Hush in the animated film if they wanted to go with somebody other than Tommy Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a great movie. Yeah.
Excuse me for making sense.
Yeah.
Riddler.
At that point, dude, Hush and Under the Red Hood both would have been supreme movies, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Under the Red Hood itself is already such a great animated movie.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
And seeing like, this kind of only...
It only made me want to watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it only makes you want to watch Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
Especially the option that essentially follows the movie, but in bridge notes.
Yeah, but like the getaway where it's like, I don't even get like all these juicy scenes. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely a crime that we didn't spend a lot of time with him as Hush. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's not the only hero. I mean, hero. He's not. That's not the only other character he portrays. He's also Red Robin at one point as well.
Yeah, very strange. Very different. He's Red Robin. He's Hush. He's himself, Jason Todd. He's Red Hood. I feel like he was one more thing.
I think... Oh.
Joe Bird.
Ah, yeah.
I would argue that that was almost like a pseudo title of sorts, although it was the shortest lived, but kind of hilarious. It was,
yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Nowhere near as hilarious as Black Mass Dying.
Just, oh my gosh. I'm telling you guys, that was good.
That was great. I could watch his death again.
Poor Black Mask, man. Like, how many times did he die out of the seven?
Oh gosh. So he died glass. Explosion into gas truck.
Decapitation by door.
He almost died by fire in the back of a truck.
Yeah. But he didn't die there.
I think that's it.
Maybe that is it. Yeah.
He almost died by Joker in an interview room, but I don't think Joker did it. So
no, because like that entire sequence was just taken from under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, he had some gruesome deaths, to say the least. I mean, yep. And I just can't stop thinking about that gasoline scene, man. Just
so great.
But
so essentially, and this is gonna be another. One of my thesis statements, whether or not this reflects with you, Q, you let me know. The movie itself, like, not every individual choice or every individual collective of scenes was a banger, but there were great, great, valuable gems hidden in the movie. Obviously, the comedy of the Black Mask flying through the air, exploding again in a gasoline truck was great. There was one more scene I really want to talk about, brother. Mm-hmm. You already know the one, the diner. We have to talk about the diner, because that was arguably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
I think that this was like the best chain of events as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the one where, doesn't this one start off with Batman dying and Jason living? And then you choose to kill the Joker and everybody else.
Yeah. And so what happens is you as Jason Todd, you go to this diner. Mm-hmm. You're not dressed up. You're Jason Todd, literally. You're in like civilian clothes. You go to this diner and you're sitting there at the counter, and there's this awkward chatty man dressed in a trench coat with like a fedora hat. Yeah. And he's just kind of like talking about some type of, the news. The news runs on the diner TV, and they're talking about Batman going out in the night again, doing his thing. Look at him kicking crime's butt. And then the man in the cloak goes, "That's not the Batman." And he kind of like goes on and says like, "No, that's probably Nightwing taking Batman's place, but that's not the Batman."
Very astute for just some random guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I won't give away every detail of the scene, but essentially, like, what follows was a really, really great sequence of voice acting and actually, like, really well-written monologuing and, like, redistributing of what's already well-known canon into this great what-if-other-verse scene. Mm-hmm. And the outcome of it was so great, dude. It was so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best, most well-written scenes in this whole collective of DVD.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, this one definitely had a lot of thought put behind it, and the execution for this one was also great.
Right.
I mean,
it was probably this scene that inspired or was inspired by the idea of this collective of what if choose-your-adventure, decision-making, whenever they decided to do this for a movie, you know?
I can definitely see that, because it's like you kind of wonder like if you're like a writer for Hollywood or for anything really, if this is something that would interest you, this kind of format, because you often hear about so many ideas being left on the proverbial cutting room floor, and it's like with this kind of concept. Theoretically, a lot of your ideas can be picked up off the floor and utilized some way.
They get resurrected, you know? Like, oh, that was a gem. There was just no place for it in the movie. Well, guess what? This type of genre, and here's the bright light in this area now, like you're saying, excuse me, kombucha burp, those bright ideas can resurface and be revitalized so we can all experience them, even though there was no place for them in the original story, you know?
Right.
Not saying that this is particularly a scene that was ever written prior to this movie's, you know, birthing, right. But either way, because of this movie, we get to see this now. It was great.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It really made me wish that, man, like, if we had just gotten more around this, you know, like, mm-hmm. like if we could have lived in Jason's misery a little bit more before this scene, and if we could live in the aftermath of that scene, that would have really been really been some dope shit.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Even leading up to it was kind of fun. Now that I think about it, because I'm pretty sure leading up to it was. This was Jason Todd, who was, like, isolating himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept getting visited by, like, every super being out there. And they all kept pestering him.
Yes.
Like, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, every daggum body.
Dick Grayson several times.
Dick Grayson know? Several times. Always eating. Always, yeah. Like, with a boba tea and the freaking bag of chips.
Chips. Yeah. And there's another thing that I think this movie does well is the handle of the characterizations. Like, throughout these different scenarios... For the most part, none of the characters really felt mishandled,
agreed.
Which is something that you can easily see happening with this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing, well, let's have Dick Grayson become the fucking Penguin in this, you know, just
what?
Wish weird shit for the sake of being weird.
First flying penguin I've ever seen.
Oh, see, that's great. That's a joke waiting to happen.
No. What?
Come on.
What?
Yes.
Two-Face became Three-Face. Like, wait, how does that happen?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he gets thrown into, like, some mutated stuff, and he grows a third.
His makeup comes all distorted. He's, like, got one eye and a corner. The smallest corner is his mouth towards, like, this new being. He's got, like, a large chunk of the middle. Yeah, no, he's Three-Faces. It's all diagonal. Mm. See?
The third option is just maybe.
The third option is the pacifist.
All right.
I'm not sure I really want to do that.
Yeah, I see. So are you going to let me go? No. I don't know. are you going to kill me? Just wait a second.
Shut up. Let me think. So
if I kill you, Batman's definitely going to be on my case if he catches you. If I let you live, though, that means you get away.
He pulls out the prism and he tries to flip it. Yeah. Like the thing. Oh, my gosh, man.
Like, you see... Things were simpler before I was around, you know. I think that the other two guys had it handled. I don't know.
He literally just, like, yells at himself, yeah, you think we had it, dadgum down? We never needed you. You little wuss.
There's Harvey Dent, there's Two-Face, and then I'm just calling the third one Jerry. Then there's Jerry.
Shout out to all the Jerrys listening in. Here's some Jerry love for all you guys. Jerry, pat yourself on the back, brother.
Fucking Jerry. Oh, wow. Man. Trying to think of like another fun
scene.
Yeah, another fun scene in this movie here. There is a scene where we do get a little bit of Tim Drake love.
That's true.
Yeah,
true. That one. The aftermath of that one was my least favorite.
Yeah, it's like I thought they would have gone a different direction. I mean, I expected him to become the sidekick there at the end, but not like that.
No, that was dumb. But that was interesting because that was the one where we got Red Robin, who was named Red Robin because of the amount of blood that he poured into the streets from all the criminals he was killing.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was basically Red Hood, but with Tim Drake's known and famous Red Robin costume, and here we are.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I joked during the movie that young Tim Drake was like, yeah, man, you stole my fucking moniker. Mm. Like, I'm going to need that back.
Yeah, man, like, I'm going to need that when I'm ready for it, you know? Come here.
Yeah, like, it's going to be a few years, but still, man, come on. You're really ruining my future image here.
Right.
Poor Tim. Tim always gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
It is also interesting that this movie, more or less does, and this is just a kind of a weird kind of roundabout factoid. This movie does more or less focus on like the four characters that we're going to play as in the Gotham Knights game. Tim Drake, Barbara Gordon, Dick Grayson, and Jason Todd.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah. I doubt that had any kind of impact on them making this movie, but...
There was one that was interesting, and it was, like, the one most accurate to the original Under the Red Hood movie. It was the one where Batman is the monologuing voice this entire time, mm-hmm. rather than Jason Todd or someone else. And he's monologuing, but the way that they're playing the scene is that he's almost literally narrating the story via having a conversation about it with someone else. Like, they're at a table, and they're just, like, flashbacking constantly with Bruce Wayne discussing this with an unknown entity. I'm happy I guessed it correctly.
Ooh-wee. Yes.
But, yeah. And that was interesting. That was actually a pretty good one. I kind of liked the idea of that, how they did it, but it just made me want to watch Red Hood again.
Yeah. I think I was spoiled that one earlier. That's the one when he's talking with Clark.
Exactly.
When Bruce is talking with Clark at the table, and it's like that was the option where,
it was under the Red Hood.
Yeah, it's under the Red Hood. It's just the clip notes of the movie, and I felt like maybe they feel like they needed to put this in here for people who haven't read the story or seen the animated film. I mean, because that's what it seemed like.
I would also argue that they put it in there for the people who have seen the animated film. That way they're not basically just watching the animated film again and that they're actually feeling like they're watching something new.
But no, that's the same thing as the animated film, though.
What I'm saying is, like, the idea of the narration of Batman mm-hmm. sitting at a diner table retelling the story with his Cliff Note-esque version and thus eventually revealing that he's having a conversation about it the whole time with Clark Kent, and they have their, like, interesting little epilogue ending, you know? That's the point I was talking about. Hmm. Yeah. Was that not the same point you were talking about?
No, I think I was saying that, like, I thought it was... It felt like they put that whole chapter in here for people who've never seen the movie.
Right. Okay. Basically hand-holding them along the way so they don't have to, you know, put a whole movie inside of their movie.
Yeah.
I get that, mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
I did feel like maybe, like, the ending reveal that he's talking to Clark was for, you know, people who've experienced it before.
Yeah. And also to explain the reason why they just literally held everyone's hand to re-explain in, like, 5 minutes the plot of their movie they already made, which mm-hmm. was over an hour long.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice for sure. But, I mean, that one, you can't say that one was bad because, once again, this made you want to watch the,
right. the no, actual that was a movie. Good one. Yeah. I really wish that I got to see the scenes I really loved. Like, the entire apartment scene from start to finish. The whole fight, the Robin. But why is he still alive? Like, that mm-hmm. whole scene I wanted to watch again. That's all it made me want to do.
Yeah.
And I just got the Cliff Notes version.
It's Oh,
man. Like, now I'm going to go watch it later on because I got it saved. Right. A profile of saved favorite video clips on Facebook, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Like the hater part in me is kind of glad they didn't put that in there because
how dare you?
I don't want to hear this new guy recite those lines. It's got to be Jensen that does it.
Okay. I'm vibing with that. That's a fair point.
Yeah. It was interesting though because they got Bruce Greenwood to come back as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
wasn't trying to recite Bruce there twice, but yeah. I just put it together that, yeah, this guy's real name is Bruce. Okay.
Bruce is Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce plays Bruce again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a few other interesting scenes where the last one we watched, because we were trying to, you know, watch all the endings and see what happens.
Right.
The last one we watched was definitely interesting. Probably the darkest ending, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
You get to die. You get to die. Everyone gets to die.
So that was our boy Red Hood.
Uh-huh.
That was the Lazarus Pit resurrected Batman. Yes, you heard correct. and Talia revealing said resurrected Batman. And in a moment where you get to choose either life or death, quite literally, if you choose death, all of a sudden, Red Hood comes up and he and Batman stab each other in the most lackluster bat fight I've ever seen.
It's the opposite of the
laziest stuff.
It's the opposite of the Under the Red Hood fight.
Exactly. You know? Literally just two knives swing and that's that. Right. It's all done. And then Batman is revealed to be stabbed as he falls to the ground in a very pathetic, just really lackluster, let's make this over quick type thing. He reveals a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
A pack of, like, tiniest bomb I've ever seen on Batman, presses a button, and it's big enough to blow up that entire top building where you see the skeletal remains of Talia, Bats, and
Jason. Yep. Yeah.
And there's no voice. There's no monologue explaining, hey, we all died.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just I guess who's going to say it?
Yeah. Yeah. Which was actually kind of cool. I like the silence, and it's like, oh, that was the wrong choice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I see I need to reload. That was the wrong... the wrong telltale.
Glad we did that one last.
Yeah.
Glad that wasn't our first one.
Oh, man. That was our first one. Like, we really suck at this.
Yeah. Ironically, that almost became our first
one. It almost was. Yeah.
We chose life, obviously. Uh-huh.
We chose life, in which he was able to save, quote unquote, save Bruce, get him away from Talia, but they kept him in a cage. And he was, you know, insane probably for the rest of his days.
And they redefined what in.
Zurinar. Yeah.
Because they derived it from something he said as a child. Or no, his dad said Zoro
and
would be in
Arkham.
In Arkham.
Yeah.
Zurinar.
Yep. Yeah. Like, because that phrasing, I'm willing to put money on, I'm pretty sure they took that from Grant Morrison's run on Batman. I think we were talking about this on the couch over there, but yeah, it was like Batman was fighting in the comics like these three kind of not spectral, but they're almost prophetic in senses, different forms of himself, different maniacs that took on his persona, and that was a common phrase that was being thrown around. I was like, man, That was definitely something that was like scratching an itch in the back of my head. Like, where have I heard this from before?
Nice.
But yeah, so it was interesting that they threw that out there. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like the ones that were really great stood out. A lot of them. I mean, there were seven options, but so like maybe four of them were meh. You know.
Right.
Maybe like one or two were just I can completely do without, and then one or two were like really good.
Yeah.
But no, this was
not sure what you call that ratio, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to call that ratio either. I mean, like ultimately, I feel like this is a really interesting experiment. I mean, even when I bought this, I noticed off the bat that this is cheaper than most animated movies that I buy.
What'd you pay for it?
I think $15 bucks.
That is cheaper. Yeah,
normally most, 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, so.
It's kind of like when I bought Far Cry New Dawn. It was only like.
Oh, yeah, 40, right?
Yeah, it was like 40 bucks at max.
I
can't remember if I did it for 40 or if I got it for much cheaper than that, but it was like, oh, this isn't even a full price game because you realize.
It's just an expansion, really.
It's just like a glorified expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of the same thing with the Miles Morales game, you know, just kind of like, it's not full price. I think it's only like 50 bucks, 40 or 50 bucks.
Okay.
But it's because it's just like a glorified expansion but with Miles Morales.
Woo.
I mean, which I'm fine with that. So, which by the way, we'll be covering that one when it comes out. Yeah, I mean, like that in a nutshell, guys, is the animated Death in the Family movie.
Yeah.
I mean, so in retrospect, once again, guys, I wish that they put more emphasis and focus on the actual Death in the Family plot point since they bothered to name the movie after that. I wish they'd given us more options to choose from. And And in the future, I definitely hope that they choose to create their own story instead of adapting a already well-known and loved property. That would be my two cents to them, you know, because surely they want to know our opinion.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what they get off on.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, they love hearing they love hearing what the homies have to say about their movies.
They care about the homie nation.
Hey, you know, if they suck up enough, they might win a homie this year, all right?
That's
true. The most prestigious award in nerdom. All right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. We claim it.
Oh yeah. I'll stand by that. But yeah.
Yeah. You got anything else on this one, man, before we wrap up for the evening?
Not a whole lot. It's a fun movie to kind of, like, put your head around. It's an interesting project. I would definitely, you know, do it with a friend. It's much better with a friend. Most things are much better with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, yeah, watch The Collective if you can with a friend. Also, watch Under the Red Hood. Because if you watch this first, I feel that you might have a degraded, that might just be me being paranoid, but that might devalue your experience with the actual movie Under the Red Hood. So do yourself a favor, watch Under the Red Hood first.
Yeah.
So you know the truth. Okay.
Right. So you know where it really goes. Otherwise, I can imagine, like, if you've never watched Under the Red Hood, or if you're not familiar with the story and you watch a Death in the Family movie, I would imagine that most people would walk away saying, man, the one with Bruce and Clark was the best one because that's the actual story.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I still kind of like Joe Bird. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Joe Bird definitely was
a
great
cool
one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically, after Robin kills Joker in the diner, he allows himself to be caught by the cops, and then they foolishly didn't put him in solitary confinement to start with, and so he just starts killing criminals in jail.
Yeah.
And where are you going to go? You're still in jail, so they just put him in other jail.
Yes.
And he just keeps killing criminals.
To quote Warshak, I'm not stuck in here with all of you. You all are stuck in here with me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's essentially what happens. And, like, and unfortunately, we don't get to, like, actually see him beating the shit or killing any of these other guys.
It lasts all a minute.
Yeah. We just kind of see him very happy that he's put in jail with all the other criminals to finish his job.
You know, Batman on the outside had the thought at least once, because he is a normal human like all of us. So it's like, well, he's still making my job easier.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, if he was alive, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. To make that outcome happen, Bats had to die. So Dick Grayson's had to die.
Dick Grayson, yeah.
But yeah, man, definitely watch Under the Red Hood first, guys. Treat yourself. That is a great animated feature.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's say that they take some of our advice here, but they moving forward, they would like to adapt another story. Which story would you like to see in this format if you had to choose?
Honestly, no. The format was fun to experience once, but I don't know, man. I'd rather watch an honest movie. You know, like I'm a fan of, you know, movies, but if I had to pick a story. If we're talking about DC doing it again, I would probably want something large, like a Justice League story. You know, like I'm thinking, like maybe even their origin would be kind of fun to do.
Oh, yeah.
Where we could get a whole different type of Justice League, that'd be kind of interesting. And then like one outcome even correlates with the Justice League at all,
right?
Because I feel like that could be a blossoming story. That could have gone onto any one of those mini flower petals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If we had to do it a Marvel way, I would want something that correlates with House of M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that is just a minefield. Like, every time you turn the DVD on,
right,
you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they had to do this again and adapt another of their stories, I'd say do Flashpoint. Like, if you have to do another one,
okay,
definitely do Flashpoint. just because there's so many goddamn options, so many different possibilities, so many different things that could happen. I mean, that literally does open you up for a lot of really cool opportunities to explore new paths. So that would be, that'd be a lot of fun to see.
Nice.
Yep. For sure. But that is, I think that's all I got for this one, my friend.
You and me both, brother.
All right. Well, homies, hope that you enjoyed this. Hopefully, if you guys have had the chance to watch Under the Red Hood or Death in the Family or read either one of those stories, then definitely let us know what you think. Oddly enough, we actually haven't covered A Death in the Family on this podcast yet. I'm sure that sometime down the line, we'll probably definitely have to get to that one. It is a pretty big milestone for DC Comics. But
agreed.
Yeah. And we do have a really stacked month this month, guys.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We already got it all planned out, and we got a lot of treats in the house for you guys. So definitely, trick-or-treating ain't done yet.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
write it out.
There might still be a little bit of tricking. Depending, you know, depending on the definition of tricking.
How dare you.
But I think that is all we have for now, guys. And once again, our Patreon page is up, and we are still have a lot planned for Patreon as well, including we're going to be covering Mandalorian Season 2. So definitely be sure to go to our Patreon page to check that out. And also, if you guys haven't done so yet, please feel free to leave us a review. Reviews really help us out. They help us climb the ranks. They help more people find us, and that way our nation grows and we'll be able to take over the world. I mean, what?
That's exactly the idea.
Oh, okay.
Let's pronounce it. But homies, again, we thank you guys for everything you do, for all the listening that you guys have given to us, and we hope that you join us for many more listens, indeed.
Absolutely, guys.
Definitely subscribe if you haven't already, and tell your friends to do the same.
Yep. But that is all we have for now, homies. Thank you. Thank you again for listening again. But until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I am Superhero Homie Kevin.